Well, good morning, everyone. And Merry Christmas. So are you filled with joy? We're getting there, huh? Well, of course, the title of today's message is Zechariah's Song. And let's read our key verse there. You can see it right there. Ready? Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. You know, when Christmas comes around every year, there seems to be this permeating sense of joy whenever we celebrate Christmas. And I often wondered about this. Why do we become so joyful around Christmas? You know, it just happens. But I believe God gives a special blessing to those who celebrate the birth of Jesus. And with this joy, we often celebrate by singing the wonderful hymns of Christmas. Silent Night, Come All Ye Faithful, Joy to the World. In today's passage, we see that Zechariah and Elizabeth were an aging couple in the history of Israel. They had served God faithfully over many years, and in fact, their years seemed to be waning away. But they had one unfulfilled prayer, to have even one son in their lifetime. They never gave up on this prayer. So when God visited them with the good news of their coming son, they were filled with a new song in their heart. Through today's passage, let us see the cause for joy that Zechariah and Elizabeth had, and that we all may have a new song in our heart this Christmas. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time of Christmas where we seem to be filled with joy, but whenever we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, you come, you visit us, and you fill us with a new song in our heart, and are reminded, and are renewed, and are restored to worship of Jesus, the baby Jesus. So please be with us today, and thank you for all of the wonderful prayers and songs and even Christmas lights and joyful children, and we are all joyful because you have visited us again. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Part 1, the birth of John the Baptist. Since the time of Malachi, 400 years earlier, there had been no new word of God nor new revelation of God. The people were waiting for the Messiah to appear. Each generation growing up and growing old, wondering about when the Messiah would come. But after 400 years, suddenly, God visited his people. He showed up in a way that most people did not expect. He showed up with the appearance of the angel Gabriel, and he showed up with the humble births of John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus. Many religions speak of God. To most of the world's religions, God is far away and distant, somewhere out there. But the God of the Bible visited his people many times throughout Old Testament history. God visited Adam and Eve, Enoch, Noah, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He visited Joseph in his dreams. He visited his people through the words of the prophets. But God still visits us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Word of God, which not only regenerates his people, but leads them into the truth which Jesus expressed in his word. When God visits his people, there's much occasion for joy. In the previous passage about Zechariah, God had visited him to bless him, but instead he received some training and some discipline. He couldn't speak for 9 months and 8 days. I wonder if Elizabeth was happy about that or not. Maybe. Are there any women here who wish some silence training for their husbands? Okay, anyway, that's... But God visited him and gave him training and discipline so that when John the Baptist came, he could bear this great blessing. Usually when God brings discipline upon his people, it is not easy to bear. But when we submit to him in faith, in the situation we are in, then there is great fruit and rejoicing when it is done. Look at verse 57 and 58, or listen to verse 57 and 58. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth probably had experienced a sort of a silent disgrace over the years because they were not able to bear children. I often wonder how old Zechariah and Elizabeth were. 50s? 60s? 70s? The Bible says they were very old. It certainly reminds us of Abraham and Sarah and their child Isaac, and Elkanah and Hannah and their child Samuel. But as we see in verse 59, at the birth of John the Baptist, all of their joy nearly evaporated. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." Well, maybe, "No, he is to be called John." And what did the neighbor say? "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." They were not too happy. You know, there's a TV show called Family Feud, where two families have a feud to outduel each other and win prize money. Here, in the moment of circumcision, a family feud erupted. Why was the naming of the child such a bone of contention? Because naming the son after the father implied that the child would walk in the father's footsteps, carrying on his father's name and work. Had John been named Little Zech or Zech Jr. or whatever, he would have been expected to grow up like his dad as a priest, going about with his father and learning to do what his father did. Like when I see Katie walking up and down here and then Abigail just follows her everywhere. But this was not God's plan for the baby. He was not to be one of the 18,000 or so priests, like a priestly maintenance man, but a rugged prophet in the spirit of Elijah. He was to be a voice in the wilderness, not in the temple. His message was that of which Isaiah spoke, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." The neighbors didn't see God's vision for the baby. However, after Zechariah wrote down John on his tablet, his Google tablet or HP tablet, whatever kind it was, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue set free. And he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbors were filled with awe. And they all asked, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with them. The family feud turned into rejoicing and wonder for all because they placed God's purpose and plan for the child above their own desires. Part 2, Zechariah's song. Zechariah was an ordinary priest. Now, you may know this already, but there were three different types of priests, right, Steve? There were the Levites, who participated in music, and then there were the ordinary priests who did the burnt incense at the temple and did some other things with the showbread. And then there were the high priests, and of them only one could enter the most holy place once a year. Zechariah was an ordinary priest. As an ordinary priest, he served God every day in his community. Most priests lived in the country towns and villages and went to the temple maybe 2 weeks out of the year. They exercised leadership as teachers and magistrates. They conducted weddings, funerals, were religious teachers, counseled others, and accepted the sacrifices of the people. In the Old Testament, priests were indispensable in the life of the people. He was their intermediary, like him or not. But God's visit brought about a huge change to the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Through God's visit and his training and discipline, now Zechariah was not just an ordinary priest, rather he was a priest that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when he opened his mouth, he praised God from his heart. As we read in the key verse, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." As we celebrate Christmas, relatives come or we go to see them and have dinner together, along with some coffee and pumpkin pie. We exchange presents. Children are filled with delight when they receive a present that they have wanted. Right, kids?
Yes.
Yes, okay. But the idea of God visiting his people has a twofold purpose, to visit and to bless. Zechariah was so filled with the Holy Spirit that he praised God in his song. In his soliloquy to the greatness of God, who had not come only to visit his people, but to redeem the entire nation from the power of sin and death, which held people in its powerful grip. Zechariah could see the horn of salvation, redeeming his people through a strength and a power that cannot be overcome by the enemies of God. We sing about Jesus, born as a child in a manger, but he would grow into that horn of strength, the King of Kings, and he would conquer the power of Satan forever and ever. Amen. Verse 72 through 75, we see Zechariah's response to God's redeeming power. God has not only rescued us from our enemies, he has enabled us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Zechariah had served God into his olden and golden days. He had remained faithful and was a role model, both along with his wife, a role model to his community. They had grown old serving God year in and year out. It is not easy to keep doing the same thing year after year. Around the world, many people work for 40 years and then look forward to a long retirement, perhaps to buy an RV and travel around the country and visit many different places, as I wish I could. However, everything was new now for Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were not just grandparents anymore. They were a dad and mom with a newborn baby. Now there would be some baby showers, some diapers and changing diapers, heating up baby bottles and changing more diapers, buying little T-size and size 1 and 2 clothes, and then changing more diapers. But the most important task was to raise up this child in the knowledge of the Lord God who had called him for a very special purpose. Sometimes when drastic changes come into our life, we wish that maybe a Gabriel would appear before us with a message from God and tell us exactly what to do. We may not have a Gabriel, unless if you did, can you please let us know? But that does not mean we don't have access to God. Rather, God always is with us at any stage of our life, whether we're young or we're going through different changes in our life or we're getting old. God always has a plan for any person at any stage of their life. It might be unclear right now, but when changes come, we can rejoice because God is with you and he is with me. We don't need to fear. God's plan and promises are there in the Word of God. And all we need to do is to surrender to his will, even if it is something a little new and a little fearful. How long did Zechariah and Elizabeth live after they raised John the Baptist? 10 to 20 years? maybe more, I don't know. But their whole life changed, and yet in this new life, God was with them. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Finally, in Zechariah's song, after he addresses the nation, he now speaks of his son. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. John the Baptist was the one who would be the forerunner of Christ, to go before the Lord to prepare the way. So Isaiah wrote, prepare the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. A couple weeks ago, I went to a performance of the Messiah, and I was preparing my message, and when they sang every valley, remember that? Every valley shall be, and then the really long thing that nobody can sing. So I really thought about this passage as I heard the Toledo Choral Society and the orchestra sing and play this. John would, after his training under Zechariah and Elizabeth, he would go into the wilderness. He would lead a life of isolation in the desert, separating himself from a generation that had grown cold toward God, so that he could easily identify sin and reveal it, not for condemnation, but for repentance, so that the person, he or she, may be able to accept this coming king. And once the king came, John did not diverge. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He pointed his disciples towards Jesus. John was a forerunner. Through him, he blazed a spiritual trail to the Lord Jesus. We are not John the Baptist, but we are forerunners. Just as John was the forerunner to the Christ, so we are forerunners who blaze a trail of faith for our children, for students, for neighbors, for our community, and even for our nation. It is not a job for someone else somewhere out there. It is a job for us. It is a job that stops here. The buck stops here. God has redeemed us and empowered us and enabled us to serve him, to lay out a trail of faith for others to follow, leading them not to us, but to the kingdom and the glory of God. Like most of you, I heard about missionary Esther Chung. I had met her a number of times when I was in Chicago because Kathy was originally in missionary Joseph and Esther Chung's fellowship. So she had introduced me to them, and every time I went to Chicago, I always had a good relationship with them. I learned that she was born in 1940, which would have made her 81 or so. But she and Joseph served God faithfully all their years as forerunners of faith. Then missionary Esther entered the glory of God's eternal kingdom. Wow. That is the way to live our life. Find God's redemption, find God's calling, and live as a forerunner of faith all of our years. Amen. Verse 80 serves as the conclusion to Luke's account of the birth and childhood of John the Baptist. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Luke's closing verse summarized John's life. He grew up strong, physically strong, but especially it emphasizes his spiritual life, becoming strong in spirit for his upcoming ministry in the desert, in the wilderness. So we have had several messages on the birth of John the Baptist and Zechariah and Elizabeth, interspersed with Mary and Mary's song. So what have we learned? Well, what have you learned? No. We have learned that God visits his people. God visits people both corporately and individually to bless them. How? Primarily through his word and his spirit. He visits people through his servants, both great and small. God visits a person when he redeems him, even if training and discipline are necessary. God visits his people to enable them to be his servants, serving without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives. God visits his people as the counselor, the wonderful counselor who counsels his people in the midst of culture clashes and family feuds. When many issues and even arguments arise, God also visits his people as the comforter to those who are in a time of trouble or sorrow, or when sickness or illness come, even deaths. And God's people pull together to bring help and support to the situation. Ultimately, God visits his people to redeem them and to enable them to become his servants. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth, a kingdom of priests, not according to the Old Testament law or legalism, but a kingdom of priests who are filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Christmas is not just about Christmas presents, but it is about God's presence, his visitation to our life in its many myriad ways. May God visit each and bless each and every one of you now and into the new year. Amen. Let's read our key verse once more. Ready? Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you have come to us. Again, at Christmas time, we sense a very special visitation from you. And with this visitation, we are filled with joy. We are filled with an unspeakable joy, and yet we express this joy in many different ways. Zechariah, when God visited him, he was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, and his mouth praised God. Please be with us. Thank you for visiting us and granting us a joy, not just happiness from the world, but a deep and abiding joy that is with us forever. Well, thank you for this time, and thank you for your visitation on us during this Christmas time. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.